Hey there, everybody. Welcome to episode number 468 of this here electronic engineering podcast called Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by eejournal.com and written, produced, and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. How about a little mixed bag of verification fabulousness for this week's podcast? Oh yes, we're going to mix in a little DVCon 2022 preview with a little functional safety design and verification for automotive and industrial designs. So first up, please welcome John Dickel, DVCon US 2022 Program Chair, to give us an update on this year's DVCon, what will be included in this year's show, and how you can attend. Hi, John. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Amelia. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. Okay, so we're talking about DVCon 2022 today. And this year's conference will be virtual yet again, right, John?
We decided to go virtual. Again, we would have liked to have been in person, but with COVID, it just didn't make sense to do it live. So we're doing virtual. It'll be Monday, February 28th through Thursday, March 3rd, 4 full days of content. And even though we would have preferred in-person conference, there are actually are some benefits to being virtual. And one of them is, you know, people from all around the world can attend without having to travel.
Right.
Our sessions are all on demand, so people can, you know, quote, attend the conference without actually having to miss any of the sessions. It'll be good.
Excellent. Now, I saw that Manesh Pandey is going to be the keynote at this year's conference, and his keynote is called Unleashing AI ML for Faster Verification Closure. So, John, tell me a little bit more about that.
Design verification is one of the more complicated and expensive activities in electronic system development. And what Manish is going to be talking about is how advances in machine learning, the algorithms, the software and practices, how they can give verification engineers new tools to attack the problem. And one of the things he'll be covering is, you know, how we can exploit supervised, unsupervised, and reinforcement learning to get order of magnitude gains in coverage closure and just overall verification cycle time reduction. So it should be an interesting talk. I'm looking forward to hearing it.
Excellent. Now, I saw you guys have a program grid in place. So tell me about what all will be covered in each day's presentations. And are the presentations by the Accelera Systems Initiative still on the first day?
Monday is still Accelera Day with some additional content. So we do have a full day of Accelera presentations in one of the tracks. They have a tutorial on PSS, the Portable Stimulus Standard, and then three workshops from the different working groups for functional safety, IP security, and UVM AMS, all on Monday. And then in addition to that, we're going to have four sponsored workshops from vendors also on Monday. So it should be a full day of content. On Tuesday, we have paper presentations. We have three parallel tracks for the paper presentations. So users can go from, you know, from one track to the other. And then because everything is recorded and on demand, if you happen to have two talks at the same time, you can still see them both, which is actually a benefit of being virtual. And then we have the poster presentations and also the keynote on Tuesday. Wednesday, we have two panels. One panel is the meeting of SoC verification hidden dragons. The other panel is going faster, how to cope with shrinking schedules and increasing complexity. More paper presentations on Wednesday, also three tracks. Another bit of content from the Accelera UVM working group, there's a Birds of a Feather session we'll be having. And we'll also have lots of networking opportunities. And then the day wraps up with the best paper presentation. Thursday, we have three sponsored tutorials and six sponsored workshops. So again, another full day of content.
Sounds like it. So John, let's talk about paper submissions. So if someone in my audience wants to submit a paper for consideration, what would their process look like? And this year includes a new two-stage review process, right?
That's correct. We did change the review process this year to even further improve the quality of the papers that are presented at DVCon. We added an extra round of reviews for the final papers. The actual process starts back in August when authors submit a two-page extended abstract. Then the technical program committee will review the abstracts and they'll decide which submissions will be invited to submit a full paper for further review. as the authors submit their draft papers, a member of the TPC, who we call a shepherd, is assigned to each of the submissions. Their job is to work with the author, provide feedback on the draft paper, and help make it the best possible paper that it can be. After all the final papers are completed, the TPC reviews them again. This is the new step that we've added this year. We review the final papers, and then we make a decision as to whether a submission will be accepted as an oral presentation, a poster presentation, or rejected. Now, we try not to have any rejected papers. Ideally, we get everybody either a poster or an oral presentation.
Excellent. Now, John, what does registration look like this year? And what deadlines should my audience keep in mind?
Well, we have two registration options, similar to last year. Attendees can either register for the full conference, or there's also a free registration option, which includes the keynote, the panels, the expo, and the UVM Working Group Birds of a Feather session. All of those are free with the free option. Now, the deadline for advanced registration is February 4th to get the reduced registration fee.
Okay, well, John, I think it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, John, a lot of us can't have our favorite foods right now for one reason or another, a supply chain, lack of the ability to travel. So, John, if you could have one meal right now, it doesn't matter if it's from the other side of the world, you need a passport to get there, what would you have?
Probably Korean barbecue. I've had a couple business trips to Korea working for Samsung. I've always been impressed with the barbecue restaurants over there. Very different from Texas barbecue.
Yes, indeed. And that sounds delicious, frankly. Well, John, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Okay, thank you, Amelia.
All right, keeping with our design and verification theme this week, let's bring in Robert Schweiger from Cadence Design Systems. Robert and I are talking about Cadence's new safety solution, what the Cadence Midas safety platform is all about, and how Cadence is working with the Accelera Functional Safety Working Group in this realm as well. Hi, Robert. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, Amelia. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Okay, safety is the name of the game today, and Cadence just launched Cadence Safety Solution. So, Robert, before I get into the details, what challenges is Cadence looking to solve with this new solution?
Today, a lot of car companies are working on fully autonomous vehicles where the driver becomes a passenger, giving the control to a machine or a computer. Autonomous cars require a lot of more advanced electronics and software to fully control and automate the vehicle. So OEMs and their suppliers better make sure that their complex systems are working as specified, and there is no risk for the passenger, but also other cars and pedestrians using autonomous vehicles. With our new holistic safety solution, we provide customer an automated design flow that enables them to develop and automate the validation of their electronic systems according to functional safety standards like the ISO 26262 for automotive, but also IEC 61508 for industrial applications. In addition, by leveraging our solution, customer can also automatically generate safety reports that are required to faster certify their end products according to these standards. Quite complicated, I guess.
Yes, indeed. So, Robert, within this Cadence Safety Solution is a platform called the Cadence Midas Safety Platform. So, what kind of benefits does this approach bring to the table?
So I mentioned earlier that autonomous vehicles require a lot of advanced electronic systems, which are typically based on highly integrated circuits, also known as ICs or system-on-chips SoCs. So one of the key methods to analyze functional safety is a failure mode effect and diagnostic analysis, also known as FMEDA. However, FMEDA tools are not integrated with the IC development flows to leverage native chip design data. The Midas safety platform, which includes FMEDA, is fully integrated with the Cadence safety flow to to enable an FMEDA-driven safety methodology, including safety design, analysis, and verification for analog, digital, and mixed signal design. Because of that, MIDAS has full access to the chip design database, including number of transistors, gates, and area. So failure rate estimations rely on this data to predict as accurate as possible early in the design cycle failure rates. Based on this, the safety architect can design a safety architecture, including safety mechanisms, to detect failures in the system and take certain measures to mitigate or tolerate faults in the electronic control units and report them when faults have been detected.
So, Robert, this new safety solution also includes several different engines and flows for advanced safety design and verification, right? Can you tell me a bit about those different flows and engines?
Sure. In order to provide a holistic safety design and verification solution, Cadence has significantly enhanced its analog, mixed signal, and digital flows. The MIDAS safety platform sits on top of all these flows and acts like a safety cockpit that guides the safety engineer through the development process. The next tool in the design flow is vManager Safety, which is basically a unified safety verification environment. vManager Safety controls all the verification engines like Xcelium Safety, Jasper Safety, and Spectre, which is an optimized engine for analog, mixed signal, and digital safety verification. With more than 80% of the field failures caused by the analog or mixed signal portion of products, its formal integration into an automated safety solution is key. Our Spectre simulator provides a new analog fault simulation approach based on the concept of defect-oriented tests that was introduced to measure and maximize detection coverage. The concept of the defect-oriented test has been developed in alignment with the proposed IEEE P2427 standard.
Fantastic. Now, Robert, when it comes to functional safety, standardization is also important. Is Cadence working with the Accelera Functional Safety Working Group in this area in particular?
Yes, we do. So recently, the Accelera Systems Initiative has formed a new working group of functional safety industry experts to develop a standard that will provide a definition of functional safety data exchange to improve automation, interoperability, traceability, and retargeting. Functional safety data is intended here as a set of data needed to perform safety activities and to generate work products. The standard will specify a data model, language, or format to exchange data seamlessly within the functional safety-aware design flows and even within the supply chain. As a member, Cadence is actively contributing to the standard with the goal to automate design for safety and enable a faster certification of safety-critical automotive and industrial products.
Excellent. Well, Robert, I think it's time for your off-the-cuff question now. So since you haven't been on my show before, a lot of us can't have our favorite foods right now because of lockdown on some level or another. So, Robert, if you could have one meal right now, it doesn't matter if it's from the other side of the world, the restaurant is closed, or you need a passport to get there, what would you have?
Yeah, actually, it would be from the other side of the world, and it would be sushi and sashimi.
Nice.
I love Japanese food, so that would be my favorite, my absolute favorite, I have to say, because I'm living in Munich. And Munich is not at the sea. And so in Japan, you get the perfect sushi.
That's right. That's very high on my list as well. Awesome. Well, Robert, this has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me.
You're welcome, Amelia.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, sure, I dig it. You can follow me or us on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by me. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts. And remember, if you'd like to further support this podcast, please leave me a review on that podcasting platform of your choice. It really does help. Also, if you'd like any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology or, heck, you just want to chat, shoot me a line at Amelia, that's AMELIA, at eejournal.com, or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of February 11th, 2022, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.